Today we begin the season after the Epiphany. Epiphany was celebrated on this past Friday. And as you may likely know, forgive me for repeating, Epiphany is a Greek word meaning manifestation, revelation. And this time, these next few weeks, offer us the chance to come to see who this baby of Bethlehem is revealed to be, to come to see his nature. Historically, from the ancient church, there are three revelations of Jesus associated with the Epiphany. Today, they've been separated out and they're remembered on different days, but in ancient times, they were all part of the feast of the Epiphany. And I think together they offer a rich explanation as to the nature of Jesus. The first revelation is what we celebrated on Friday, the arrival of the wise men from the east, those star-gazing astrologers who observed that new star in the heavens announcing the Messiah's birth. And they set off out into the unknown, following that star wherever it leads. Their long journey leads them eventually to Bethlehem, to the child born of Mary. They kneel before him, they offer the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they worship the baby. The wise men are the first Gentiles to come to Jesus in adoration, and they show us that Jesus is the Savior of the entire world, the Savior of all people. The second manifestation of the Epiphany is the wedding at Cana in Galilee, which is the first miracle of Jesus, and we find it in John's Gospel. During the wedding feast, the wine runs out, and Jesus turns large jars used for ritual purification into an abundance of the finest wine. This miracle shows the divinity of Jesus, shows his desire that all people come to know the abundant life of God. We only hear this account on Sunday once every 3 years, not this year. And then the third manifestation is what we hear today. It's the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And it's interesting, this account appears in all four Gospels, which is rare that they all have the same story. And that tells us something. It says, this is important. Pay attention to this story. So, it's important, but I think it also raises at least one very thorny question. That is, why is Jesus baptized? Certainly, the early church wrestled with this question. Why the one who is born without sin, the one who has no need of baptism, comes to the waters and is baptized? And we hear this in our gospel account today from Matthew. And his account reflects those early tensions in the early church, trying to grapple with why is Jesus baptized? Matthew has John the Baptist objecting to baptizing Jesus. He tries to prevent it from happening. But Jesus tells John, let it be so for now. And John agrees, relents, and baptizes Jesus. Martin Smith, in his collection of Lenten meditations called A Season for the Spirit, also wrestles with this question, and he suggests that Jesus does not come to the waters of baptism for forgiveness. There's no reason that he needs to do that. Jesus does not need to turn to a new way of life, a way away from alienation with God. But it was, Smith says, crucial for Jesus to be baptized. Rather than being apart from and removed from those needing repentance and forgiveness, Jesus is in solidarity with them and goes right into the water with them, joining all of humanity. Smith says this, and I quote, Jesus could have kept his distance an innocent young man conscious of unbroken faithfulness to God, looking with pity on the thousands of ordinary people who were overwhelmed by the realization of their own moral inadequacy. But instead of looking down on them from afar, secure in his own guiltlessness, Jesus plunged into the waters with them and lost himself in the crowd. He threw away his innocence and separateness to take on the identity of struggling men and women who were reaching out en masse for the lifeline of forgiveness. Unquote. Smith is telling us that Jesus is without sin and yet plunges into the waters with sinful humanity to show how deeply God desires full communion with God's people. God comes among us in the person of Jesus, putting on human flesh, accepting the limitations that come with this self-emptying of God being a creature within the creation, and does this in order to show fully God desires to share our human life. And so Jesus is baptized so that he can enter fully and completely into our human existence. In Jesus, God comes among us to live our lives completely, and does so so that God can lift us to the divine life of God, can raise us above the sin, the brokenness of this world, to the eternal love of God. So Jesus has no need of baptism for the forgiveness of sin. He has no sin. But it is important that God, in the person of Jesus, shares in the fullness of life, that we might share in the fullness of life in the Trinity. And when Jesus does this, when Jesus enters into the fullness of our humanity, we are changed. Those words spoken by God the Father to God the Son are also spoken to us. Just as God says to Jesus, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased." So God says to us, to you, to me, to all people, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." Through the waters of baptism, we are invited to claim this high calling, our high calling as the beloved of God. In baptism, we are incorporated into the very name of Jesus, into the identity of Jesus. We become part of his body. And just as we are claimed by Jesus for eternity, so we are invited to claim our changed identity as beloved children of God. Today is a day for baptisms set aside in the Book of Common Prayer. And as we have no one to baptize today, we're going to renew our baptismal covenant. And the promises contained in the covenant are nothing short of reorienting our lives to Jesus, directing our hearts and our wills to following him. In the baptismal covenant, we promise to turn away from evil and turn to God. We promise to proclaim the good news of Christ, witnessing through our actions and through our words. We promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. And we promise to strive for justice and peace, respecting the dignity of every human being. These promises at their heart are all about life of the beloved in God. They require that we see ourselves and we see every other person as beloved of God, created in God's image and likeness, redeemed by Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through baptism, we are clothed with the identity of Jesus as beloved children of God. And we promise in return to then see all other people also as beloved of God, beloved by that love that God bestows on them. But there's no doubt about it, it can be challenging to live this way. It can be hard sometimes to remember we are beloved of God. Certainly, our society offers many negative messages, is quick to point out all the ways we fall short. We are not good enough, rich enough, whatever enough. We live in an age when everything and everyone is reduced to an economic value, where some people have great worth and importance and others less, some even considered to be expendable. And so we are given, I think, many reasons to view ourselves negatively, to feel very far from being beloved of God, or frankly, being beloved of anyone. Henry Nouwen, the author, academic, priest, wrote that our difficulty in claiming our calling as beloved of God is, as far as he is concerned, a great detriment to our spiritual lives. In his book, Life of the Beloved, Spiritual Living in a Secular World, he says this, and I quote, "Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved expresses the core truth of our existence," unquote. Nouwen says that being beloved is who we are. It is the core truth of our lives. We are created by God in love, and God pours lavish love on us simply because we are. We are created by God then to be people who in turn love others. We are created by God to be in loving relationship with God. And we don't need to earn this love. We can't earn this love. It is freely given. We are beloved simply because God loves us. It is a great gift. If we can live in this way, claiming our belovedness in God, our lives are forever changed. Living as the beloved, we come to know God's call for us, the vocation, the life to which God calls us, each one of us. Just as Jesus moves from his baptism out into the wilderness for a time of discernment for 40 days, 40 nights, a time of testing and wrestling with temptation. At the end of that time, Jesus emerges with a clear sense of his mission and ministry. The same is true for us. Nouwen writes, and I quote, "From the moment we claim the truth of being the beloved, we are faced with the call to become who we are. Becoming the beloved is the great spiritual journey we have to make." Augustine's words, "My soul is restless until it rests in you, O God," capture well this journey, unquote. Making this journey into belovedness changes us, changes how we understand ourselves, changes how we understand other people. If we claim that we are beloved, we can't help then, but also treat others as beloved. We are compelled to honor the fullness of others' identity as beloved of God. And living as the beloved, we will be a blessing and a comfort to all people we meet. We will remind everyone of the love that God has for all people. In a few moments, we will gather at the font, at the waters of baptism, and renew our baptismal covenant. And in those waters of baptism, life is forever changed. In those waters, we die to the old life, to the lies, the deceits of this world, and we rise to the glorious life of God to which we are called. Journeying through the waters of baptism, we are grasped by God. We are claimed as Christ's own forever. We are named beloved of God. In those waters, we are lifted to the divine life of God, into the holy life of love of the Blessed Trinity. And so on this day, my hope and prayer is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God may plant within all of us the desire to claim, to live this holy calling of belovedness, that we might be transformed into people that God creates us to be, that we might live this new life in Christ so that God can use us to build the kingdom of God in this place and this time, and so that all may know, each person, that they too are beloved of God.
Amen.